All right. We started in Jeremiah. We're going to get back to that in a little bit. I'm just going to give you a little groundwork or framework for what I want to preach on this evening and what we're going to go getting into. The title of my sermon is Seeking a Physician. And there's a lot of different opinions on healthcare and what we ought to be doing. And we're going to look at what the Bible says for just as much as possible on this subject. It's kind of a complicated issue, and especially in the world we live in today, there's some complications when it comes to healthcare on what's right and what's not right. And some things may be, you know, I'm going to try to stay away from opinion and stick with what the Scripture says to guide us, as you know, as our guiding light and truth. And you know, obviously, you're going to form your belief and opinion on what the Bible says. So I want to get into this. My view has changed slightly on what a few verses specifically, but the number one thing, though, and there's a few pieces of this. We're going to look mostly at what the Bible talks about, like with physicians and God's role in all of this. And this may be a sermon that gets taken off of YouTube, because YouTube has just been censoring like crazy with the COVID stuff and everything else. And this isn't about COVID at all. And I'm not even going to get into any specifics on like vaccines or anything like that, or specific treatments for specific problems. It's an overall sermon. But there's a problem in our culture when it comes to even trying to get good health care. And this is completely going outside of my notes, but I want to lay a little bit of a foundation. When it comes to your health, when it comes to anything, really, I mean, we ought to be going to the Bible for everything, right? So when it comes to even just things like diets and eating, you know, the fundamentals is what, you know, and here's a basic philosophy and basic mindset. If God made it, you know, to be eaten, if God made things for our sustenance and God made things to be meat for us, then it's good. If you see God telling the priests and telling, you know, like, here's these sacrifices, you're going to eat these things, then we should know that God's not going to command us to do things that are bad, right? Or do things that are wrong. Or like, you know, they have all these different diets, like, well, you know, bread is bad for you. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we say, well, red meat's bad for you. And I mean, what were they eating when they were eating the sacrifices that were being offered up, the bullocks? You know, so the world's got a lot of different things we're going to tell you about this stuff. And this is all very simple, basic things. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time where it's appropriate to withhold certain foods, and you know, you could learn more and understand. And a lot of this is just going to be scratching the surface in general. There's another one of those areas that we need to study to show ourselves approved. And because the medical care and everything gets so complicated in our system and our society, it really, for you to make a really good decision, it's going to require a lot of effort on your part to get to know what treatments are being offered and things like that, to do your own study and research into what all is involved. And I say that because we've developed into a society, and I blame this more on like my immediate generation past, one or two generations past, where we've turned into a society that treats, you know, what the doctor says, you know, the doctor's orders, well, the doctor said to do this, and you just have to do, like, what, this is what the doctor said, and that's how I was raised, that's how I was brought up, that's how so many people, especially even in the previous generation, like, well, this is just what we do, this is just what the doctor said, you know, and this is having this faith, almost a gospel-like faith into what people say, and just total trust in that what you're being told is good for you. Now, that's not good in any area of your life, to have total trust just in what someone else is telling you, and I don't care what the situation is. Now, don't take me the wrong way on this either, because I'm going to get into this more later. I do believe it's a good thing to see doctors and to go to people who have experience and go to people who can help you and advise you and guide you into any health problems and concerns that you have. I absolutely am for that. I think it's a good thing. And I think there's a time and place for many things, almost everything. But just real basic, real high level, just going to someone saying, well, this is just what the doctor said, so I'm just going to do it, is a bad approach to take. Get a doctor's opinion and then try to learn as much as you can about that and take it into consideration when they're telling you, suggesting for you to do that. Now, again, like I said, this sermon isn't about vaccines particularly, but it's a great example of something. Well, if the doctor just said, I need to get my flu shot, well, this is what I need to do to be healthy. Well, you know what? Hold on a second. What is in that? What is it going to do when I inject it into my body? What are you actually pumping into my body? Those are good questions to ask. It's something that you ought to learn and know about before you just go ahead and do it. Well, the doctor said so. Well, yeah. The doctor said so. And it doesn't even mean, and this is important to understand too, it doesn't even mean that a doctor has ill will towards you. Because I don't believe that either. I believe that the vast majority of doctors out there probably are sincere in their care for their patients. But it's, what do they believe? Where is their mindset at? What is their worldview? All these things matter. They matter. And the reason why they matter is because a lot of medical science stems from a worldview that there is no creator. And when you have the wrong foundation in your science and the wrong mindset going forward, if you think things are just random, if you think there's these mutations and all this other stuff, you're going to go down the wrong path, as so many people have. You think you're going to start improving on God's creation and genetically modify things to just be better than what God made, you're not as smart as God. You're not as wise as God. You're going to end up failing in areas that you had no idea also is involved in that process or whatever, and cause more problems than you're making solutions for. Because man doesn't know many areas that they like to think they know all about. It doesn't mean that physicians are bad. It doesn't mean doctors are bad. But we need to understand where the philosophy is coming from, where the mindset's coming from. And if we're going to treat our bodies and treat our health, we ought to be looking at things that are going to work in coordination with the design that God built us with. Because real science, when you study things, you study out anatomy, you study biology, you study how God made things, and you really dig down and you get out the microscope and you see how things were made and designed, it's incredible and amazing, and the body is fascinating in all the functions that are performed within the body. Absolutely fascinating. Great field of science. And one that ought to, you give some respect to and acknowledge and say, hey, there's people studying this that could give you, learn a lot of valuable wisdom and knowledge and information on what's good for us and what's not good for us when it comes to seeking medical attention. So there's a great purpose for that. But because of the source of a lot of things, we still have to be able to question whether or not whatever area we're going down is going to be the right way to go. So it's not, this is not something where it's going to just easily, everything's just going to be always yes or always no. You're going to have to be able to add your own mindset to this. Now, unfortunately, some people see a lot of corruption, which is out there, absolutely. There's corruption in our medical system. And another motivation for things to not be in your best interest when it comes to medical is the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And the medical industry at large and the pharmaceutical companies, there's so much money in these major corporations, in these society, even the American Medical Society, those the AMA, and in these places that will even put out research and are supposed to be watchdogs and everything. There's so much corruption that you read about in many of these areas. It's going to give you doubts. And here's the thing. It should give you a justified reason to investigate. But it doesn't mean that everything is bad either. You just have to be able to look at things carefully and appropriately to determine what's going on. I mean, there's so much now that has been screwed up in the medical industry in this country, coming from many different directions. You've got people having frivolous lawsuits to just getting tons of money for stuff where people aren't liable. Now all of a sudden doctors and medical practitioners have to do X, Y, and Z because of bureaucracy and red tape, and because they're worried about covering themselves from getting these frivolous lawsuits that ultimately may not be the best advice for you, but they have to do all this stuff because otherwise they're going to lose a bunch of money. There's, you know, for example, I mean, we dealt with that firsthand when it came to our childbirthing with a midwife in Arizona. There's all this, these hands are tied and all these different things, and well, no, you have to have, if this much time goes by, then you have to have this type of intervention, and you have to, you know, you have to be transferred to a hospital, and they have to do the C-section stuff, and it's like, look, no, that there's actually competing ideas on these procedures and when they ought to be done and when it's appropriate. And it's not just all standardized and just one person gets to say, well, nope, this is what the book says, so this is what you have to do. You know, we ought to have the freedom to be able to choose what's right. But you see, in order to do that, you have to get educated. And we need to be able to look at things from the biblical standpoint, from a creation standpoint, and make the decisions for ourselves. Now, there's two types of physicians that are mentioned in Scripture. Job 13:4, Job was speaking, he says, but you are forgers of lies, you're all physicians of no value. We have to understand, first of all, there are physicians out there that are of no value. There are people that are just no good at their job. Now, this goes beyond just physicians. This could go into any area. And I'm going to be drawing some correlations between mechanics and physicians, right? Because there's going to be some similarities in both industries. Because first of all, we have to understand that people are people. Whether you're a neurosurgeon or an auto mechanic, people have the same sin nature and are capable of committing the same types of sins and having the same failures as people, right? Now, you say, well, one's more educated than the other. Yeah, but they're still both going to have a lust and potential to fall to greed equally. There are physicians of no value, but you know what? There's also someone like Luke who's called the beloved physician. The Bible does not say that physicians are bad. Now, first of all, I just want to get rid of this notion, because there's some people that get so spiritual, so religious, they think, well, I just don't ever go to the doctor. I don't think anyone should go to the doctor, and doctors are bad. No, doctors aren't bad. There's not. There's plenty of physicians that are good. Luke was a beloved physician. Jesus even said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know what that means? There are some people that need a physician. The people who are sick need a physician. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's a good thing. And absolutely, they need a physician. That's what they're there for. When you need a physician because you're sick, go to one. But we shouldn't have this concept or this idea of saying, like, no, because there's some people out there that'll say, you know, I'm never going to a doctor. I'm only going to just pray and rely on God and just never go to a physician. And that's not right. And that's not true. That's not even a biblical concept. Now, we should be going to God, absolutely. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but we need to understand that, one, the reason why you don't take everything that physicians say as gospel truth, just every, no matter what they say, I'm just going to believe it, is because they're human and they could be wrong on things. And because you may be dealing with someone that, even if they are sincere, may not be very good at their job. I don't know about you, but I brought my car to people who I think are very good people to work on. I told you, I make correlations between mechanics and physicians that may have been very sincere in trying to find a problem, but just weren't very good at their job and spend a lot of money trying to figure out, like, well, oh, wait, that wasn't it. Maybe it's this. Oh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. And trying to figure out and diagnose what's wrong with the vehicle. There's people that, it's funny, you find these things out later. There's people I've gone to high school with. And I find out after, you know, however many years, there's like some reunions coming up. And like, oh, what's this person doing? What's that person doing? There are people that become doctors that I would never want to go see as a doctor because I didn't ever think they were really that bright. Honestly, they just didn't seem to be very intelligent people. Now, maybe they were able to pass some tests, but there's a lot of people who are able to pass tests and get through school. And it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be that good at their job. It's just a fact. It's a fact of life. I mean, it's even if those people are good-hearted people, right? And not ill intended, they may not be very bright. It's just a fact. Like I mentioned about the auto mechanic, they might be a great person, a great guy, real friendly, not trying to harm you or do anything, but they're just not that good at diagnosing it. It's a possibility and a reality that these people exist out there, right? So that's one reason not to just have blind faith in someone. But another reason is because they may be looking to get that extra money. They may be changing their practice ever so subtly and ever so slightly after years of dealing with insurance companies and dealing with the way that our system's set up now, because it's easier for people to sin against people and to commit these types of crimes and sins when it's put off of the actual individual just ever so slightly. When they can make this money, well, this is how the insurance company, so I'm going to bill them for this. In order to do this, I have to do this extra procedure, and they made it so that way if I do this, this, and this, I get extra money. And these small, and it's not really that big of a deal. It's not really going to hurt them if I do, you know. And this is how some people will start to just want to make that extra money. And there's a motivation for that. You can see it in dentistry. You can see it in medical, you know. And when people don't have the best morals or best values, they could easily succumb to that. And even if they do, I mean, people are, like I said, people are sinful. There's plenty of opportunity for people to do wrong. And the whole point of why I'm going in all this is just to say, don't just have blind faith in what some doctor just tells you. It doesn't mean, well, don't ever go to the doctor because you might not find a good one. It means try to find a good one. If you keep your health serious, if you're serious about your health, which I think we all should be, find a good one. And then also another main point just that comes from Scripture is to not be fearful. And don't make any decision that you make based on fear. The only fear we ought to have is the fear of the Lord. And this is actually going to be very relevant as I get further into the sermon. Fear-based decisions is never a good decision to make. And unfortunately, with our healthcare, it's so personal, and you may be faced with something that could potentially be a very difficult problem or situation, it can cause you to fear. But you need to be able to keep a level head to analyze what you're being told and to do the proper investigation to know, instead of just making a decision, well, the doctor said this, so I just need to do this because otherwise I might die. And you know, a lot of people end up going that route. And they may take treatments that might not be the best for them out of fear. Now, again, I know I'm speaking very broadly because it's hard to get into all the specifics. And it would just take too much time anyways. And what I care the most about, the Bible doesn't get into every single specific, but it gives us these principles. And having the wisdom, having knowledge, having understanding, being educated is very highly promoted in the Scriptures. And so is not just making your decisions based off fear, but with a sound mind, being able to understand things, and not just giving blind trust in people based on what just... based on the fact that they have some degrees or something. That's not, you're also going to find that that's not in Scripture either. Now, Matthew 9 is where I already quoted this. Verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, this is one area where I've changed a little bit my understanding or the way that I view this verse. And I'll tell you why. I used to just never, and I still don't really, because, but I think the reasoning was faulty. And let me explain that. So there's some people out there where if you just, you know, if you want to make sure you're up, and again, the car analogy is a good one because you're diagnosing things, your body's kind of like a machine, you know, you have people who understand it more and can take a look at it. There's some people out there, some mechanics out there, where if you just want to find something that's wrong with your car, they can tell you what's wrong with your car. Everything could be fine. It could be running fine. You're going to have no problems. It's going to drive. But if you're looking for someone to tell you, hey, there's something wrong with your car, you'll be able to find someone that can tell you there's something wrong with your car. And you'll be able to find someone that's going to tell you, oh, no, no, you need to do a whole flush. You need to get all these fluids out. You need to do this and that, and it's going to cost you $6,000. There's people out there that'll tell you that when it's totally unnecessary, right? I mean, it's out there. The same way with doctors, you could go to checkup like, oh, man, you need to be on this medication, you need that and that and this, when you may not need it at all. Now, I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying you may not. There's a risk of that being out there, of you running into someone who's just going to tell you you need a bunch of stuff that you don't need. But that doesn't mean that you should never go and get a checkup. And say, I used to think that this verse was saying, hey, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, so I'm never going to go get a checkup or never going to go to a doctor ever, because there may be someone out there that might lie to me and tell me I need stuff I don't need. That is a risk. And you need to be able to think about that and understand that that may be a possibility. But what if you aren't whole, but you don't quite realize it? What if you are in need of a physician and you're able to identify a problem area that once it's detected, you can go, wow, well, this could be an easy fix. And I just need to do this. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be not whole and not be fully aware of it yet, is my point. See, I used to take that and say, well, I'm never going to a doctor unless I feel something, unless I know that there's a problem. But you just may not know it yet, and there may be one. So I'm not saying that you should never go to the doctor either. But again, be aware that there are people out there that may try to take advantage of that and steer you down a bad path. Now, why do we even go to a physician anyways? Well, the same way you go to a mechanic, if you don't know that much about cars, you don't know anything. You know, someone who's dedicating their time and their life into studying this and working on that and have experience fixing things, they're going to be able to help you. Same thing with your health. You got someone who's dedicated their life into studying a certain matter and dealing with patients and seeing things that actually work and being able to help you in certain areas. It's a good resource to go to help you determine, what should I do with my health? I'm having this problem. Okay, well, I've dealt with 100 other people that have had the same problem, and this is what I've done, and it's worked for them, so let's see if that works for you too. It's a lot better than you just having to figure everything out on your own for the very first time, going, I've never seen this before, let me go look it up on the internet and figure it out. Hey, internet's a great tool too, but again, there's something to be said for people who have experience and physicians that are doing this all the time. And again, I'm bringing this up because I think, unfortunately, sometimes too many people go to an extreme of not wanting to have anything to do with any doctors, any Western medicine, and they think it's just all a bunch of garbage just because they've seen some of the corruption and some of the bad practices and some of the things that don't line up. But you can't throw it all away because it's not all just garbage. We started off in Jeremiah chapter 8, right? And this is, we're going to see how God fits in to the picture, and we're going to end up closing in James, because James 5 talks a lot about this, and there's great teaching in the book of James. We're going to see how this all fits together with seeking health, seeking physicians, and seeking God for our health. Jeremiah chapter 8, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? So he's basically saying, again, referring to, well, wait, I mean, don't they have a physician there? Don't they have someone to see the people for the health? Then why aren't my people recovered? I mean, if there's doctors there, then why aren't they healed, right? Just giving more credence to, that's what physicians do. That's what good physicians do. The Bible's saying, you're like, hey, well, I mean, isn't there a physician there? But there could also be a reason why you're going through problems and a physician can't help you. And this is extremely important, and we need to know this. Because as believers, especially as a people of God, you may be going through health problems and no physician may ever be able to help you. Because you have another problem. And because God may be the one bringing that on you. And this is extremely important. And we can't ever overlook this. And this is, you know, again, we're going to get into this more. But turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to see some examples of people who went to physicians and it didn't help them at all. Second Corinthians chapter 16 is a story about King Asa. Now, King Asa did a lot of great things for the Lord. He actually was ultimately went down as someone who was a righteous king and did a lot of good. Now, he had a problem at the end of his life, and he ended up kind of having lapse in faith and did some things where he didn't finish off as solid as he could have and should have. But he was still regarded as a good king. He was still regarded as a righteous king. And there's a verse here in verse 12 that if you take it out of context, again, might make you think that, like, oh, well, just physicians are bad. I shouldn't go to a physician. Look at verse number 12. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. So he's saying, like, he just went to the doctors, and the doctors weren't able to help. So what good are physicians anyways? Well, I'm not going to go to the physicians. I'm just going to go to God. Well, no, that's not what the Bible's saying here. Well, then what the Bible's saying here is that you could have a problem with God where no physician may be able to help you. It doesn't mean that physician's bad. It just means if you've got a problem with God, you better go and get your problem straight with God first. It doesn't mean never to go to a physician. Look at the context of this. We're going to jump up to verse number 1, and we're going to see exactly what's happening in Asa's life and why this is a problem for him. Verse number 1, the Bible says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. So what's happening here is that Baasha, king of Israel, comes up to war against Asa, king of Judah. Right? So they're having this problem. And what Asa decides to do at this point in his reign is take the money out of the house of God and out of the king's house and send that to the king of Syria to say, hey, we've got a league together, right? So when someone comes against me, you're supposed to help defend me. But see, they also had a league with Israel. With Baasha, he says, okay, break your league. Break your agreement with them and go fight them. And here's a whole bunch of money for you to do this, to basically rely on the king of Syria to help protect them, right? Because he has this problem coming up. Now, Asa was supposed to be relying on the Lord to protect him. So when you're doing righteously, the Lord's supposed to fight your battles for you, right? They're supposed to go out, they fight their fight, they don't need to go and dead sure not take God's money out of God's house and go send that to some heathen king to come and defend you as if God can't defend you, right? That's wicked and wrong, but this is what Asa does. Verse 5 says, and it came to pass when Baasha heard of it that he left off building of Ramah and left his work and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So it works. It works for him. In this short term, it works. He goes, he gets Syria, they come, Israel goes away, and he's thinking, great, right? Now we're building these other cities, and Israel left. Verse 7 says, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So he's saying, look, You've been able to defeat people in the past. He had faith before in God to fight the battles for him, even with bigger problems, bigger armies, bigger enemies. But this time he decides not to rely on God. And he says, you know what? Now you're not going to have any peace. Now you're just going to have continual wars because you went this path. And this is a prophet of God who came to preach and rebuke Asa. And look what Asa does. Verse 10 says, then Asa was wroth with the seer. So he gets angry at the rebuke. He's told, hey, you've done wrong. That was wicked. That was foolish of you to do what you did. Now, the humble person, and a person who's ready to receive the word of God, they're going to humble themselves and go, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. And then humble themselves before God and turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I repent. But that's not what Asa did, which is also why then he has this problem. Verse 10 says, then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So Asa's basically doubling down on what he did. And he's angry at hearing the rebuke. Doesn't want to hear it. You're cast into prison. You're canceled. I'm censoring you, you know, because I don't want to hear it. Because I'm not wrong. I'm right. Right? That type of an attitude. Well, because of that, then that's where God ends up bringing a plague on his feet, so he's diseased in his feet. And then even when he's plagued by God, you know, he's seeing all these physicians. He's the king. He has access to the best physicians, right? The most respected, reputable, whatever. He can get whoever he wants, and they can't heal him. It doesn't matter what physician he goes to. It doesn't matter what they do and what they try. Why? Because God's plaguing him. And the Bible says, you know, yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He didn't get it. He didn't realize, hey, maybe I should humble myself and turn to God. This concept is important. We're going to see this multiple times in Scripture about what the Bible is referring to, especially with seeking the Lord. In Mark chapter 5, we'll turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30. In Mark 5, there's the story of, in multiple Gospels as well, there's the story of the woman who has that plague of the blood, right, the fountain of blood that's in within her that gets healed by Jesus. Remember, like, Jesus is walking, there's a great multitude, there's this great press, and she goes and touches him, and then she's healed, right? So we know that God heals as well, that God is a healer, Jesus is a healer. And that, you know, he was even able to give his disciples the gifts of healing and be able to heal people. But again, you're not going to see the teaching that, well, never go to a physician. Because that's not found in Scripture. And so I make sure that's understood. I'm going to read for you from Mark 5. Verse 25 says, And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, there's a lot of things going on even in this story. Okay, there's a lot of symbolic meaning here with this woman having this incurable disease, incurable problem, which is representative of her sin, right? And she hears about Jesus and turns to Jesus and just goes, I just need Jesus. And when she goes to Jesus, she's healed, completely healed. That plague, that death sentence that she had in her body, gone, wiped away, completely clean. Great picture of salvation, right? Because we need to go to Jesus for our sins to be washed away, for us to be clean, cleansed from our sin. We need that. But at the same time, we can still gather from this that there are diseases that people could have, and you could go to physicians, and sometimes you're going to end up being worse than getting better. And you can spend all the money that you have and still never grow better. Because the physicians don't always know what they're doing. They don't. They're going to tell you they always do. They like you to think that they always do, but they don't always know. And oftentimes the problem, you can be helped with your problem by going to God first. Because again, if it's a problem that God is plaguing you with, good luck with the physicians. You've got a bigger problem on your hands. Jeremiah chapter 30, we're going to see, you know, the Lord causes disease. Again, if the Lord's causing the disease on you, who are you going to turn to help you? Look at verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 30. The Bible says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So God's saying right here in verse 11, I'm with you to save you, right? He says, but I'm still going to correct you. You've done wrong. I'm going to save you, but hey, I'm not going to leave you unpunished, right? I'm going to correct you in measure. Verse 12 says, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines." There's nothing that's going to be able to help you with this. Verse 14 says, "All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with a chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased." So God's saying, I've wounded you. I'm the one that caused that to happen, and it's because of your sins. And Asa had his problem because of his sins. And you know what? The physicians were no help of him. That woman who needed Jesus, I mean, we don't know her background, but obviously she needed Jesus to be healed. The physicians weren't able to help her. She had a spiritual problem that was impacting, I believe, impacting her health. You can have spiritual problems that impact your health. That's a reality. That's why we need to seek God first. So if we do have a spiritual problem, let's make sure that we get that settled. So that way we can see, have the path paved for potential healing. Because if God is causing you to be ill, no one can fight against God. And having understanding this, I'm going to drive this home as we go through the sermon, because this is what the Bible's teaching. It's not saying never go to a doctor. And people, I think, can misconstrue that based on some of these same stories into thinking, well, I guess I should just never go to a doctor then, right? Because the physicians are no value. No, there are some out there that are of no value. That's true. But there's a good reason to go to physicians. Let's keep reading here. Verse 15, the Bible says, "Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." So God's able to bring the disease, and God's also able to heal. He's able to do both and make both happen. So of course we should see seeking the Lord first, always. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, further evidence and further proof that God can be causing sickness on his people. We saw it in Old Testament times, but how about 1 Corinthians chapter 11? There's a great example here that I don't see how you can take this any other way in reference to the Lord's Supper, specifically, about people not discerning the Lord's body. That's the context of 1 Corinthians 11 at the end of the passage that we're looking at here. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." This is talking about communion. It's talking about eating bread and drinking the cup that we observe at communion. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Look at verse 30. "For this cause," for what cause? That people aren't discerning the Lord's body. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, it's talking about sleeping, it's talking about dying. "For this very cause," because people aren't discerning the body and blood of the Lord, "many people are weak and sickly among you." Your health has gone down. You're weak. You're not as strong. You're getting sick. You're getting physically ill as a chastisement of God because you're not discerning the Lord's body. That's what it says. God causes sickness even within the church, even among his people, because they're just not respecting, they're not discerning, hey, it's the Lord's body. He's saying, hey, look, be ye holy. Let a man examine himself. And that's why it says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Don't be in judge of God. Hey, judge yourself. Get right with God. See if you're right or wrong in that area. Because if you're just living in sin and wickedness and not discerning what God did for you, then you could find yourself being weak, sickly, and maybe even dying. And if that's the case, what is God going to do for you? Or what is a doctor going to do for you? They won't be able to do anything because you'd be fighting against God. I mean, it's the same thing with other areas. You know, think about like with money. If God's judging someone and causing them to be in poverty because they're just full of pride and he needs to abase them and bring them down, trying to give that person more money that God is judging, you're just wasting your money and throwing it down the toilet. Because if God's trying to get through to them, you're actually be working against them by trying to just, well, I'll give you more money. And God's saying, no, I want them humble. There's no amount of money you could give someone like that if God is judging them for it. Because he's God. I mean, the same, you know, again, it's the same type of concept. So turn, if you would, to James 5. I'm going to read for you from Jeremiah 46. Pay attention as you're turning to James 5. Jeremiah 46, verse 10, the Bible says, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. Again, just another reference to God just saying, look, you can do what you could think, you could try to do whatever you want to do. You could go to your physicians, you could get this balm, you could get this medicine, you can do, apply whatever you want to apply, but you're not going to be cured because I'm not going to let you be cured. Asa could go to all the physicians he wants to go to, and God gave him a disease in his feet. Guess what? He ain't going to be cured. If you're being chastised by God with your health, no doctor can help you. You need to get right with God. But that does not mean you should never see a physician. It's a bad conclusion to go to. Because you may get ill and you may get sick, and you're not doing anything, you know, that God is going to be judging your health with. And you may not be whole and need to see a physician. Now, again, these days with all the complications and all these other agendas and things going on, you got to be careful, right? You want to make sure you could find someone who has the right understanding of medicine in general, and that we don't just treat everything with some drug, right? Everything isn't just some chemical imbalance. Again, that's the mindset that goes from the wrong worldview. When people think that we just came from this, we just evolved, and ultimately you're nothing more, like even your personality, everything, it's nothing more than just electrical impulses going in your brain, and that kind of decides who you are, and we could make these changes to your brain, and you're just going to change who you are and everything else, that you basically have no soul, then everything becomes this chemical problem. That's why they treat depression and all these other problems and everything. You know, just take a pill. Everything, just take a pill. We just mess with your brain and mess with all these other things. Look, it's not all good. They may think they know what's best for you, but they don't. If that's the path that you're trying to go down, you know, watch out for that. Educate yourself. What is this actually going to do? What does it do, and why are you trying to do this? Why are you trying to release more serotonin in my brain? Why? Because you think there's some problem there. Okay, well, how did that get there? How about we go to the source of the problem instead of trying to mask the symptoms? not every doctor is made equal. And you're going to be the ones that buy into all that stuff, thinking they're helping someone and they're not at all. But see, that the responsibility is up to you. It's not easy, but you have to figure it out. Again, though, I can't stress this enough. You can't just say because there's bad people, because you have to watch your back, because you have to protect yourself, because you have to learn about these things. It doesn't mean just don't ever go. Right? Gain what you can from people who have experience in areas. And if something's happening to you, something's happening to your children, you're having problems, especially you're having problems, seek out some advice, some opinions at least. I know we live in perilous times, and I know that, you know, people who take a philosophy or mindset like I'm putting forth right now can even potentially be dangerous if you have someone that wants to impose their will on you, and especially when it comes to children. Now, look, it's another area you got to be careful with, because we have got a government that's willing to take kids away from their parents if they're deemed to not be treating, you know, whatever, with the way that they think you should be treating them. So there's a risk, but you know what? There's a risk, but you can't make decisions based off of fear, because it still won't lead you to the right decision, whether you're fear of dying or fear of you know, having your kids taken away. You need to get good advice, find someone good, find someone that can advise you on health, and put in the time, put in the extra effort to find someone that you can at least reasonably trust to give you some decent information. At the end of the day, I believe God's given us the responsibility to know what, you know, to make our own decisions with our own health. It drives me nuts that the government thinks that they're going to be some big brother and help you out by making you do things that you don't want to do and you don't think is right. But, you know, that's the world we're turning into and living in. But with all of these things, you know, like I said, it's a complicated subject. Let the Bible truth, the worldview of understanding what, you know, even just basic facts, how God created us, guide you in making your own medical decisions for you and your family. Because God's word, we need that as the light to direct the path. I mean, I use that with my understanding of vaccines, that hey, I'm not gonna inject myself with a disease to be protected from a disease. I'm not gonna put something unclean into my body and think that I'm gonna be clean. And that's there's a whole host of other things for that, but just biblically speaking, you know, we are not designed to require at birth injections to keep us healthy in our life. God made us better than that. To slap in the face to God to say, oh man, this baby, this poor baby, you need to inject them with this and this and this and this and this and all this stuff so that they can be healthy in their life. No. God made our bodies capable of surviving because God's amazing. And God has made our bodies capable of adapting and changing and have this awesome immunity and everything else. You don't need to just inject every single child that's born into this world with poison to make them healthy. It's ridiculous. But again, one example, I'm a little passionate about it, that's why I keep bringing it up, but I hate when people try to force that agenda on you, and it happens. But just because people try to force that, you know what we do? It doesn't mean we don't ever go to a doctor. We just try to find a doctor that understands that position and isn't going to pressure us into trying to vaccinate our kids. And yeah, it may be harder to find, but they're still out there. There's still people that you could find that's going to advise you on what you need advice on in your health or in seeking that type of advice and getting some steered in the right way to dealing with your health. But always we ought to be seeking God first. Now, you're in James chapter 5. Let's look at this passage, because it's a great passage. And God is always able to heal. That's why we have our prayer requests. That's why we get people that we pray for regularly, because God is always able and capable of healing, and he always is the first place that we go to all the time. But just as much as we also rely on God to support us, right? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these things shall be added unto. So we know that God will provide for us, he'll clothe us, he'll feed us if we seek him first. But it doesn't mean that you just never get a job and you never do any other work. I mean, of course, I'm gonna trust that God will provide for me, but he's gonna provide ways for me to work as a man. Somehow. I don't need to worry exactly about how that's going to happen, but I definitely am not just going to say, well, I'm just seeking God on my couch, and I'm going to listen to the Bible all day, and I'm going to study and read, and, well, God will just take care of me. Look, you got to get up and work. Right. Take the Bible as whole. It's the same way with your health. It's, oh, I'm just going to, trust in God, absolutely. I'm going to trust God with my health, but, you know, I'm going to do what I can also to make sure that I could treat the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our body, with as much care as possible and have respect unto that too. And if someone who studies biology and anatomy and can understand some areas of like, hey, this actually isn't good for you. There are these carcinogens or these chemicals or these other things that are in this food or whatever that's going to cause some problems to you, then you know what? Study that, look at that. And you know, take in as much information as you can to make the best informed decision that you can. James chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible reads, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this is where people get this. The world gets this idea of, oh, these Christians, they just believe in this magic and everything. Look, it's not magic. It's the Lord who's capable of healing. Now, I don't think this is something that you would even do, first of all, over, like, oh, I got a cold. Let's call the elders and bring them over here and anoint me with oil. Right? This is going to be a serious problem. But there's more to this as we keep reading, because it says here, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, this also carries that same symbolic meaning that the woman who was cured of her plague carries, because look at the wording that's used here. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if you've committed sins, why in the world would your sins just be forgiven you? You know, what is this talking about? It's talking about someone being made whole, and I believe receiving then that they can receive the healing because they got right with God. Verse 16 then continues on the same vein, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Asa would have done well to follow this advice. I believe God would have healed him had he humbled himself and gotten right with God. He should have called for whatever prophet of the day was around and said, hey, I need to get right with God because I made this and this. You know, instead of putting him into prison, call him out of prison, be like, man, I made a big mistake here. Can you wash me, anoint me with oil? Can you help me get clean? And God will forgive. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the supernatural healing, I think, is tied in with this as well. God seeing, hey, here's someone calling the elders, and they're getting serious about getting right. This would be something that I think is God provoked. Now you're getting God's mercy because you've been wrong with him, and now you got to get right with God, and then God's going to heal you. And the passage continues to explain, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, because it does. And this is not, we absolutely 100% believe in the power of prayer, of asking God to help in our need. Verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which convert the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And you can't ignore how this passage about the prayer and the sick is riddled with someone committing the sins and the confessing their faults and going through this process of being of trying to get right with God. They go hand in hand. At the end of the day, when you face major medical problem, right? Go to God first. Search your heart. Search your life. Is there some area? Why am I, like, is God putting me through this because of me, because of something that I did? Confess your faults. Get right with God. Right? And seek God first. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Right? But then there's nothing wrong with going to a physician after that. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing sinful about that either at all. The problem that Asa had, the Bible says clearly, it's because he went to physicians but didn't go to God. It's when people don't go to God when they have the problems. So don't, you can't reverse, this is logically speaking, you cannot reverse this. You cannot go the other direction. Logically speaking, you could say, okay, he had a problem, he went to physicians, he didn't go to God. The problem is he didn't go to God. It's not that he went to physicians, it's that we went to physicians only. If you have a problem, you get right with God, then you know what? God might use the physicians to heal you. He might. He doesn't have to. It can be done with no human hands. But you know what? God, we see all the time God using people for his will to be done. All the time. There's no reason to think that that wouldn't happen that way as well. So I'm sorry if I didn't get it quite as clear. I feel like sometimes I didn't get it quite as clear. I know some of the concepts are clear, but like, you know, there's a lot of different opinions out there when it comes to seeking medical advice. And I would hate to see people ignoring very important health factors in their life because they're so anti-doctor and not going to a physician, not seeking anyone out, that it ends up, you know, doing damage to yourself or a loved one when you really ought to just be seeking out that advice. And on the flip side, I don't want to see people taking the other extreme of just, well, whatever this doctor says, I'm just going to do, and maybe end up harming themselves more because they're just doing things that is just, well, this is just what we're told to do. Is what, you know, and it may not actually be good for you. So there's a balance here. There's a balance here. And as with everything important in life, you can't just, unfortunately, you just can't trust anyone at all. Right? You can't just trust people. You have to do the work for yourself. You can't trust a pastor to tell you everything that's true and right. You have to do that on your own. It doesn't mean don't listen to a pastor. It means judge what they're saying. Judge it against the word of God. Is it true? Great. I'm going to receive it. Is it not true? And I'm not going to receive it. But don't just have blind faith in anybody. You say, oh, well, pastor said this, so it must be true. No. The word God says this, it must be true. Not pastor says this. I mean, you don't take the same, well, the car mechanic said this, so it must be true. Maybe. It's good. It could be good advice. Let's take that in and let's process that and see, okay, well, yeah, this makes sense. And as with anything important, you know, get multiple counselors involved with your health. Go to multiple doctors. What are these people? Were they all telling me the same thing? Maybe there's something to that. Or maybe they all studied from the same book. I don't know. I hope this sermon helps somebody. You know, I hope you can take it to heart, you know, and be able to make good decisions, because I want to see a healthy church. I want to see everyone, first and foremost, going to God. You got a problem, pray to the Lord. Look at yourself. Is there something that I did that's bringing this on myself that I can fix? And then you know what? Seek some advice. Seek some counsel from people who are well-educated in the area that you need help with. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, love you. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, we just ask that you pour out your wisdom and knowledge. Help us to make wise choices, Lord. We care about our bodies here on earth, and we want to get the most life that we can to serve you. We just ask for you to watch over us, guide us into all wisdom and knowledge, dear Lord, and help us to just have good discernment when it comes to making major, especially major decisions for our health, and that you would, we know that your word is true. We know that much, and I pray that you would just help us to identify things that may potentially be harmful for us. Help us to know what's right, dear Lord, that we wouldn't end up causing damage unintentionally, Lord. We love you, want to serve you to the best of our ability, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.